welcome to the High Peak Summer 2019 Camp Staff Podcast, where we interview our camp staff to learn a little bit more about their journey and their story. All right, welcome to the podcast. We have another special guest with us today. We have one of our female counselors, Miss... Well, introduce yourself.
I'm Miss Lanning, and I'm from New Zealand, the Miss North Lanning. Island.
The North Island.
One of three islands in New Zealand.
Don't cut my questions off. I was going to ask, how many islands? Is there really only three?
There's like four, but Stewart Island and Chatham Island are like really small.
People live on them?
Yeah.
But small.
Small, really small.
So three main islands.
Two main islands.
Two main islands. Mm-hmm. North.
And South.
And South. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And you live on the North Island.
Yeah.
What are the big cities on the North Island?
So there's Auckland City, there's Wellington.
Christchurch.
No, South Island is Christchurch.
Ugh, okay. Yeah. See, my geography is...
Yeah.
But I mean, that's fair. I've never been there.
No, exactly.
What if I asked you where Ohio is? Could you name it on a map?
It's in the south.
No. See, no, it's on our North Island. It's on it's the northern part of our country. So that's fair. I don't know all your places.
Yeah.
But I only know two towns. Well, three. Christchurch, Auckland, and Sydney. Wait a minute. I didn't mean Sydney. No, I didn't mean that. I meant, I'm missing the big one. Hang on. What does it start with?
So you said Auckland, Christchurch, and...
And what's the first letter? The biggest one.
W.
No, I don't... Wait, hang on. This is really... I know it.
Grant is from this place.
Yeah, he is. And it's the biggest one.
Yeah.
It's the biggest city. Is it the capital?
Auckland is the capital.
Auckland? Oh, it is.
Oh, I don't know.
Is it really? Oh, I don't know either.
I think Auckland's the capital.
Well, you know more than I do.
It's Wellington.
Wait, a W.
I literally just said it.
What is it?
I don't know. Wellington.
Is it Wellington? That's the biggest city.
I'm pretty sure.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. We almost had the opportunity to go to a Camp America recruiting fair.
Wow.
And it was going to go to Auckland.
Cool. Yeah. I was going to go to one of those
really?
As well.
Mm-hmm. We're hoping next year we get to go.
Cool. And then, oh my gosh, that would be so cool.
It'd be so much fun. Oh my gosh. It'd be my dream. Yeah. So that route goes Australia for 2 days.
Uh-huh.
And then it goes to Auckland for the last day.
Cool.
Okay, so that's where you're from, and you grew up, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Cambridge, which is, it's a small town. Like, at the moment, I think there's 70,000 people, but when I was growing up, there's probably, like, 20, 30,000 people there.
Wait, you said 70,000?
Yeah.
That's a big city.
Really?
Don't you think that's big?
No.
That's medium. In America, that's pretty medium.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I grew up in a town of 9,000.
Oh, wow. Okay,
so
yeah.
So, town.
Okay, yeah. No, it's definitely grown. Yeah.
Okay. But even 20 is pretty small.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And it's kind of close to the West Coast, which is about 40 minutes away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Surfing?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're surfing
big
on the West
on surfing,
Coast?
Yeah. Really? In Raglan, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you a surfer?
Bad surfer, but yeah. Been.
That's
yeah.
like me in golf. Like, people ask, do you play golf? I'm like, well, I have clubs.
Mini golf.
But yeah, mini golf. Yeah, I'm even worse at that.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So you grew up there and you have been on Camp America staff how many times?
Twice.
Yeah. And counselor both years.
Yes. Yeah.
And let me ask you this. When you're here in America, you've been to America before though?
I came, yeah, because I've got family here. Family in California and family in Kansas.
Okay, so you've been before.
Yeah.
What is the biggest difference?
Between New Zealand.
America and New Zealand, back home and here.
Obviously it's bigger.
Okay, sure.
It's definitely like ahead of New Zealand. New Zealand gets trends way later than America does.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So when I went back home last time, I felt like I was all cool with my new clothes and you know, I was like, hey,
really? That's
cool. Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. But
that's pretty funny. Okay. Yeah. So trends, and then what about like what about food items?
The food in New Zealand is real. And
not made in a factory?
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know, it's less processed, and okay. I find that as soon as I come to the States, I'm like really gassy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The food here. Well, it's camp food too.
It's camp food. That's
it is
true.
Camp food.
Yeah. I had really good food in San Diego before I came here.
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We tried to open up. We tried the salad bar this year. It happened a few times. It didn't happen as much as we wanted.
Times.
Yeah, yeah. We hoped to have it at least twice a week. But,
yeah. Yeah.
A few times. And that was good.
Yeah. That I did. Good, I enjoyed that. Yeah.
Yeah, we we realize that campers come up and they eat this food, but our staff have to eat it every single week. I mean, we eat it every single week.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes I just, it's, you know,
it's that one, I don't even want to name a meal because maybe a cook is going to listen to this, but maybe it's that one meal that I'm like, I'd rather just, I'll find a piece of fruit.
Yeah. Well, that's like when that package that my parents sent, they sent me this jar of Vegemite. Yeah. And so often on my break, I'll go and just hoard heaps of Vegemite on toast and then I won't have a meal.
Then you don't need the meal.
Yeah. So I'm
so
fine.
Tell us, wait, this was a fun experience. Tell us, walk us through this story about that package because this was unique. I've not experienced this at any postal office.
Yeah, that was strange. Well, Mum sent me the package. I was on the phone to her. I was like, you know, people are getting packages from home. And I'm like, can you send me some pineapple?
Come on, Mum. Yeah. Send me a package.
And so she was like, yeah, of course I will. And then she goes to send it and it comes to like $98 to get it here, which is just crazy. That's probably like 60
US. It's expensive.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive, yeah. I mean, it got here fairly quickly, but she was like, whatever, I'm already here. I'm just going to send it anyway, even if it's $98.
Sure.
But yeah, I got to the post office and I was like...
Well, first they tried to deliver it.
They tried to deliver it, yeah. And I don't know why they couldn't. I don't know why they didn't.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
They left a note or whatever, or one of those little slips. But I get there and she puts it on the counter in front of me and she goes, oh, so you're Lani? And I'm like, yeah, I'm Lani. I have my ID and everything. And she goes, okay, well, you just need to bring me that slip. And I'm like, I'm right here with my ID, and they're just refusing to give it to me. So I was pretty angry. I went, like, red in the face, and I was like, oh, I've got to get out of here.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Because they put it right in front of you.
I don't know why she would
do
that.
You had your ID, but they wouldn't give it to you. Yeah. Unless you had the piece of paper that they left at the camp. Apparently.
Yeah. I said, it's got my name on it. That's my name. It belongs to me. And she goes, no, you need the slip. So
I was on that trip because it was a bank trip to town and I took Lani back to camp. We looked for the slip, but we couldn't find it. And we have like 4 or 5 different people to pick up the mail. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to find stuff like that. So I took you back down and I said, we're going to get this box.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get this. And fortunately that lady wasn't there.
Well, she was at the desk.
Well, yeah, she was sitting at the teller wasn't her. And so the teller seemed very kind and said, oh, well, we'll find your box. And then out of nowhere, that lady rolled back in her chair. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And she said, wait a minute. You can't give it out. Yeah. She tried to stop you from getting your goodies from home. But we got the package.
Yeah.
I said, it'll never happen again. We lost the slip, even though I think they were wrong.
Yeah.
If your name's on it.
Honestly, I didn't have much faith that you would be able to get it if that lady was still there because she was pretty horrible. But
well, I was hoping that if they said no and they put it out in front of us, we would grab it and run.
Right.
Like I mean, I'm not that fast, but I think I'm faster than that
faster
lady.
Faster than that lady.
We were going to get your box no matter what. Okay, good. So you have had some USPS experiences.
Yeah.
And that's in a welcome to America. You don't get your mail unless you have the slip.
Yeah.
What is your most favorite thing? You've worked 2 years. What is your most favorite thing about camp?
Favorite thing. My favorite thing is obviously working with the staff.
Yeah.
Like it's really cool getting close with everyone. You don't really have a choice.
Sure.
Because you're literally 24/7 with these people.
Right.
But just the memories you get out of with the kids as well, because they say the funniest things sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
And I wish that I wrote it down more because some of the things I wish I could go home and tell people, it's like you have to be there to really experience it. But and the weather and everything as well. Like it's nice to be in the sunshine all the time year round.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
what is the weather back home right now?
Winter.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm. So I haven't had winter in 2 years now.
Wow.
Great.
That's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've grown up in California most of my life, lived in the South, was in the military, but my summers growing up were always really hot. Mm-hmm. So coming here, it's like it's a nice cool summer.
Yeah, and
it's
you still
some
get
warm
the sun.
Days. Yeah, you get sun, a little bit of rain, but then it goes away.
It's perfect. It's been wetter this year though.
This year is one of the most peculiar years.
Yeah, it's strange. Yeah. Snowing at the start.
It snowed.
That's crazy.
We had multiple hailstorms.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been pretty peculiar. But again, even then, it was pouring down rain yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And an hour later, it was sunny and dry.
Yeah.
Or drying.
Yeah. And on the field, like 2 days ago, it was like scorching hot sun, but it was just these massive raindrops at the same time.
That's so crazy.
It's strange. But
what do you think about the pavilion down there?
The new shelter?
The overhang, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay,
yeah, because you're not like stuck in the scorching heat.
And if you need some shade, you got some shade.
Exactly,
yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, and campers as well. They don't get dehydrated and all that sort of
That's a good point.
Yeah.
We're hoping that in the winter it helps with our groups that come during the winter because snow, you just can't use the court. But now the court should be somewhat usable.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun.
No, it's a good idea.
So your favorite thing is working with the staff. You make lifelong friendships. Mm-hmm. Some people that you probably were close to last year aren't here, but you still probably stay in some sort of communication.
Definitely. Like last year, do you remember Laura from last year?
Yes.
She lives in Gisborne, so she lives on the East Coast, whereas okay. I'm on the West Coast. It takes me like 5 hours to drive to her, but I probably went and saw her like 3 or 4 times.
That is so cool.
It was so cool, honestly, and I fell in love with Gisborne where she lives, so
Really?
Cool. Yeah.
What makes her, one question. Is driving 5 hours like a long drive?
Oh my gosh, that's, yeah. And it was funny because I would tell my flatmates, I'm going to Gisborne this weekend, and they would go, you're going to Gisborne this weekend? Like, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to Gisborne this weekend. And so it's just like a huge shock to anyone sure. who hears, you're driving 5 hours just for 2 nights? And I'm like, yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
That's how it is in America, especially in the West. So Colorado, out here, driving like that is nothing. On the mm-hmm. East Coast, everything's really close, mm-hmm. so they don't do that. But yeah, like every Monday I was gone from camp because I was up at Aspen Alley, and I would drive right. 4.5 hours up, mm-hmm. be there for 2 hours, and drive 4.5 hours
wow.
back.
Wow. And see, that's next level. That's crazy.
Is that next level? Yeah. Just for 2 hours of being there. Yeah, it was quite amazing. I ran over a deer last time I was coming back.
How's your car?
He was, well, it kind of mangled the bottom, but he was already on the ground.
Oh.
I came around a corner on the highway.
You just didn't get it.
Well, I'll be honest. He wasn't quite dead. His ears were wiggling. Uh-huh. Like, I just saw last second, but either I slammed on the brakes and stopped on top of him.
Wow.
Or I swerved off the road, and there was a cliff on both sides. So okay. I just slowed down and went over. I don't know why I shared that story.
No, that's like, I'm trying to like,
I think I put him out of his misery though. He definitely died after I hit him.
Yeah. What did your car like, was it a big like?
It was a giant speed bump.
Yeah.
And it was very sad, but he didn't suffer anymore.
Okay.
And I probably.
Were there other cars around?
There's no one out there. There's no one out there. It was just me. I think I saw 3 cars in that entire trip.
I remember last year when we were in the bus, and I can't remember where we were driving to, but there was a family of ducklings crossing the road.
Was I driving?
Yeah, you were driving, okay. And you were like, ah!
I don't want to hurt them.
It was funny.
Yeah, it's a lot of wildlife up here, so it happens a lot. Mm-hmm. That had nothing to do with anything, but I drive 5 hours for a 2-hour trip. Yeah, sorry, thanks for indulging me. Okay, so you drive 5 hours, so you got to see her. And so yeah. I was going to ask you about her. So she, a lot of people, you didn't take a break. You've worked both years in a row. Mm-hmm. Some people have school or they have other things
right.
and they can't quite make a commitment every year. Mm-hmm. But there's some, I think there's two or one person on staff who took a break and came back. Jonah. Jonah
yes,
did that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I thought there was one more.
Alyssa?
Alyssa and Elena.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a year or two break.
Yeah.
But people are drawn back to this place and mm-hmm. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It's you're with young adults that are kind of in the same walk of life and mm-hmm. spiritual mm-hmm. life with you at the same time. And I think it's a good place to be. If, again, like you said, you have no choice but to become, you get to know everyone.
Yeah, you're like family.
You're in a small community. Mm-hmm. So you argue like family.
Yeah.
You ride and die like family. Mm-hmm. But since everyone's kind of the same age, kind of same mission, we're all here for the same purpose. Tell me about your faith journey. So did you grow up in the church? Like where, tell me a little bit about how that
played out in your life. I've never shared a testimony before in my life. Like it's just never been something that I've thought about, but, cause I've never thought it's anything spectacular, you know, like I grew up in a Christian household. Mum and dad both really involved in worship, and my grandparents as well, actually. Mum's side of the family I was telling you the other day, they were doing ministry in Ivory Coast in West Africa.
Missionaries,
yeah. And so they're doing that. and so yeah, I grew up in a Christian household. I think when you grow up in a Christian household, you tend to sway away from it at some point.
Sure.
Because it's all you've known, and so right. you want to try different things, you know.
Right.
And so that's totally what I did. For like 10 years probably, you know, like
middle school.
Yeah, like middle school through high school.
Okay.
Started working. I actually got my first job when I was 13.
Wow.
I started working full-time at 15.
Okay.
And I think from working at such a young age, you kind of mature a little bit faster.
Sure.
Naturally. And so probably about 2 or 3 years into my apprenticeship, I start to come back to the church. So yeah, I came back to the church and yeah, I mean, I tried, you know, like went out partying, all that sort of stuff. I won't go into too much detail, but yeah, so I tried that. And then I came to camp. I can't remember what made me want to do Camp America. It was my uncle who did it. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, he did it maybe like 20, 30 years ago. I don't know. He's not that old, but...
Sure.
Yeah, he did it. And then my brother did it. And so he said, yeah, it's great. You should do it. And so I was like, I've, you know, got nothing holding me back here. I'm just going to go do it. And so I did it. And then being at High Peak Camp and surrounded by it, it's like it just consumes you completely. And so... Wow. I was like, yeah, I mean, this is totally for me. I feel at home here straight away. And I just loved it. And so I went back home and I started reading my Bible every day. And yeah, it was just good.
So your first summer at camp had a huge impact on your faith journey.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I always, when I pray to God, I always thank God for, like, literally what he did that summer. Because I think my family as well, they'd been praying for, like, a change as well. And so had I, because I was just like, I don't know, stuck in a rut. I don't want to be a hairdresser. I never wanted to be a hairdresser.
Oh, yeah, that's what you do for a professional. Yeah, or did. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I did. I got my qualification. But, yeah, I never wanted to be a hairdresser. Just kind of something to, it's like a safety net, really.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm just hugely grateful for it and just how crazy of a turn my life took.
Sure. Yeah. And you told me, so this last year has been completely different.
Yeah.
And you told me that even some, like, even certain friends or people you knew that just weren't, I think you call them acquaintances now.
Yeah.
But just some people that you knew, like, maybe they're not the best influence. Like, you kind of walked away from some of that interaction.
I was, honestly, one of them, because I was living with three girls. One of them was my best friend. And they always say, you shouldn't live with your best friends because we're totally not best friends anymore.
Sure.
But that, and it was painful. Like, it was really painful.
Yeah.
And I still love her to death, like I do. Sure. But it needed to happen, and I'm glad that it did. Like, even though it was painful, so.
Yeah, it is hard. And those, but those are the times where we learn and we grow through those processes.
And I wouldn't have grown if I didn't go through that. So, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. In that process, did your family see a different result when you came back? Like, did your family... I know your mom's very active on social media.
Yeah.
And she follows me and I follow her. Yeah. So I see a lot of her updates.
Yeah.
They like to ride motorcycles. Like, mm-hmm. I know a lot of things about them.
Yeah.
But did they see a difference?
I think they definitely did. Yeah. Because even like, I think everyone saw a difference.
Sure.
We don't really talk about it that much. But,
right, sure.
But I know that they did because we have different conversations now. Like, we talk about, we talk about things on like a different level, on a spiritual level now. And it's just, our relationship is better. So.
Wow. That's good. Yeah. And you don't live at home.
No, I don't. I was living at home like a week or two before I came back to.
Oh, you were. Camp. How far did you live from home?
Like, I think, I was actually living, basically with my boyfriend in Raglan, last year. I was just always at his house in Raglan. And so that was home for me really, because I didn't really like being at home.
Gotcha.
But when I moved back to Cambridge, I was like a 10-minute walk from.
Oh, you're not far.
No, not at all. Okay. Yeah, but it's just, I like having my own space.
And
my own
of course. Yeah, yeah, sure. Sort of sure, thing, sure.
So, yeah.
Well, that's good. So what's next? What are you doing? What's after this summer?
So actually on Monday, I'm flying to Mexico. And then I'm spending about a week on my own there. I'm going to stay on the coast. I'm not going to try and attempt to say the names because it's embarrassing. But I'll spend a week and then I'm going to meet up with a bunch of people from camp. And we're going down through Guatemala, Belize, Nicaragua, Costa Rica.
Whole Southern America.
Yeah.
South American
Central
trip.
America. Central, yeah. And Central, then yeah. Yeah. And then we're doing Peru and Chile. And then I'm going on to do a volunteer project in Brazil.
Nice.
Later in the year. So.
And you have... not applied, but you have the information for a Salvation Army discipleship school.
Yeah, so I actually was telling Audrey the other day that I did apply.
You did? Oh,
yeah,
okay,
I did apply, but I applied for 2020.
Okay, sure. So, Rev High.
Yeah.
Rev High,
good. Rev High, so I'm really, really excited about that. I almost wish I was going this year, but it's going to give me time to prep and
logistics,
raise money for it and all that sort of stuff. So.
Yeah, and that came from, we were talking and I said, what do you want to do in life? And you said something about, you kind of feel called to missions. And you felt like God was kind of leading you towards Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of what you said?
Yeah.
And I said, well, we have a program for that. So
that's so crazy.
I hope it works out. I think that'll be amazing.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Okay, I do something with people on the podcast just for fun. I have a few songs that I play, and I like you to guess what they are.
All right.
But then also, they have some sort of connection or relation to you in some way.
Okay.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we'll start with the first one. This should be a really easy one for you. And when you know it, you'll hear it in your headset. When you know it, just tell us what it is.
No.
It is not American. It has a connection to you.
Oh, it's my national anthem. Okay.
I don't listen. I'm gonna tell you something. I don't know anything about podcasts.
Right.
And I can't be certain, but I think they're on the internet, and I think people back home can hear you, right. Not know your national anthem. So for that. I can't edit that out. It's done.
It's fine.
That is the New Zealand national anthem. By the way, you guys have the best flag.
We're not as patriotic as you guys are, so that's why.
Well, that is true. Actually, a lot of internationals told me, like, why do you guys have American flags hanging everywhere?
You guys are really patriotic. Like, I know my national anthem, but it's only ever played at rugby games. Like,
I was going to say sports games.
Yeah, it's not like a thing that we do all the
we
time.
We do, like, with the flag, Pledge of Allegiance every morning.
Yeah.
At camp, but even in school, we sing the national anthem. Okay.
Right.
Here's another. Look, I don't really know this song per se. I've heard it before, but let's see if you know what this is. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like, why would I play that?
Because she's Kiwi.
She is.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, you did.
I didn't know that.
Yes, are you kidding?
I googled the most famous New Zealand and she was
the
number
Lord?
One. Her?
Yeah.
No, I know her. I've heard the song before.
Gotcha.
But I probably don't know.
Yeah, of course I know that because, like, I mean, New Zealand's so small. If someone blows up, it's like a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Like, she's a Kiwi.
Oh, really? It's a very proud thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Not as proud as the national anthem.
But,
but a pop star.
It's funny that I got that one quicker than the national anthem.
It's kind of sad. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one. This one I do know. Okay. Let's see if you know these guys.
The distant future. It is the distant future. The year 2000. We are robots.
You know this?
The world is very different ever since the robotic uprising of the mid-90s.
No clue. So this is a comedy music duo named Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, yes, I know them.
You know them. That's them. Maybe you haven't heard that song.
No, I see. I don't follow them.
Sure,
but,
sure.
Yeah.
They got really famous a few years ago. I think they had an HBO special or something
else. They
did.
Yeah. I remember that.
Here's one more. It's not, I'm going to give you a hint. It has nothing to do with New Zealand, but I just want to see if you know the song. Here we go. Ready?
Let It Be.
It is Let It Be. By who? Do you know who it is?
Maybe not Elton John.
No.
The Beatles?
It is the Beatles.
Yeah.
Let It Be by the Beatles. I think I've played that for almost everyone on the podcast.
Wow,
just because I love it. I love it. It's a good one.
Yeah.
This rendition is the Salvation Army International Brass Band.
Wow.
So the staff band.
That's
and,
beautiful.
Yeah, they did a whole Beatles album cover.
Wow, cool.
Because you know the song Strawberry Lane? Strawberry Lane? Is that what it is? Beatles Strawberry Lane?
Yeah.
Strawberry Fields. Strawberry Fields Forever. You know the song?
Yes, yeah.
So Strawberry Fields, it's crazy. John Lennon lived on this street, and behind that street was a Salvation Army children's orphanage, I believe it was.
Wow.
And he used to come over and crawl over the fence and play sports with them at Strawberry Fields.
Wow,
which,
how cool
to this day,
that?
Strawberry Fields is still a Salvation Army property, and they have a little museum there about John Lennon, and people go there to take a picture of it because he wrote the song.
So he would sneak in and play sports with the kids.
He would sneak in and play with the Salvation Army
cool.
orphanage.
I like
kids.
That.
Isn't that cool?
That is really cool.
So I said Strawberry Lane. That was Penny Lane. I was mixing up Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields.
Yeah, well,
so there's a little bit of a connection.
Okay.
But that was fun. We'll let it be. That is Let It Be. Cool. Lonnie, we're running out of time, and I have two requests. One, I would like to hear you say a sentence in your best American accent.
Okay.
So should I give you a sentence or
you
just
give
want...
me a sentence.
Okay. How about I love pizza night at camp. Is that a good one?
Well, I don't like pizza night at camp.
Well, it's gonna be you're gonna lie when you say it,
okay.
But you're also faking an accent. So
okay,
here we go. All
right, I like pizza night at camp.
That's really good.
I feel like it could
have. Have you worked on that before?
No, I don't know why, but like I used to always pretend when I was a kid to be American, just because you see
really?
The movies and all that sort of stuff.
Are kids fascinated with your accent?
They just say I like your accent, and I'm like, you have an accent. I don't have an accent.
Yeah, exactly. I've always wanted to be the person with an accent.
Really?
So I've always wanted to
come
be
to
in
New
a
New Zealand.
I know. And then hopefully they'll tell me, like, can you say things?
We don't have many Americans in New Zealand really? At all. No. It's like German people, like Europeans.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Or
Asians?
Asians.
Because you're on the, yeah, that makes sense. Asians. Okay. Well, you mentioned Lieutenant Grant. Lieutenant Mandy lived there for
a while.
She
was telling me about that. She lived in Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Which is a horrible place.
Really?
Yeah.
I won't tell her you said that.
I told her.
Well, it's recorded, so yeah. it's everyone knows it now.
Yeah.
The second thing I had for you was this. It's an opportunity for you to flip the script. Mm-hmm. So for you to interview me and ask me any question. Anything you can think of, you can ask me, and I'll give you an answer.
Okay. 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 An honest answer.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your juiciest camp story?
Juiciest camp
juiciest,
story.
Juiciest, yeah. Like, did you ever work at camp?
Oh,
like,
plenty of years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I have a lot of them.
Yeah, so it's like, tell me something that's just going to blow my mind.
I'm going to give you one that's crazy.
Okay.
So I had one summer where I had a few relatives working as well. Uh-huh. Had a cousin, another cousin, and one of my cousins worked in the dish room. So late out at night after dinner, they would take dish soap and pour it all over the ground. And they would run and they would surf down the dish room.
Oh, cool.
Well, one night, one of them didn't get their footing as well, and they fell and hit their eye. Ooh. And it was like a baseball on their head. Ooh. Well, they told the camp director that he just fell accidentally. And camp director, well, be more careful. He didn't tell about the dish soap or anything else. And there was another guy on staff who was, he got in some sort of trouble. And so he went to the camp director, he liked a girl that guy liked. So he went to the camp director and said, well, I know the truth. He actually did the dish soap. And so the camp director was going to fire this kid. Mm-hmm. So this is the worst story ever. I don't even know why I'm telling this. This is going to come back
to
bite
me. He wanted
to
fire him for sliding around on dish soap?
Well, he lied. So he did that and then he lied. Yeah, and it's 25 years ago. So either he's getting fired or in trouble, something. Yeah, yeah. He probably wasn't getting fired. Mm-hmm. So when that guy found out that the other guy told on him, he went and he peed on the guy's pillow. Okay, Lonnie, this is so bad. Okay, this is right. He wasn't getting fired because he peed on the guy's pillow.
Okay.
And that guy crawled into his bed and put his head down on the pillow. And the guy who told, he put his head on the pillow and he's like, my pillow's wet. And he smelled it and it was urine. It's so bad.
Yeah.
So he went back to the camp director and he told, and whatever, how it worked out, somebody in the room told that was the guy who peed. And then he got fired. So that's what he got fired for. Okay. I mean, you should get fired for peeing on a pillow.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. That's one of many. You want another one?
Yeah.
I like these stories.
In relation to that, though, my friends, they were selling this girl a couch and she never came to pick it up. And so it was like sitting there for ages. And I think it was, I don't really remember this story, but she never came to pick it up. And so actually no, so the girl that bought it, they weren't very fond of, and so they peed on the couch and then she came to pick it up.
No way.
Yeah. And
that is a related story. She should get fired too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is we're gonna step away from the pee stories.
Okay, cool.
And what is that, my juiciest story? I mean, there's so many. I don't know. We used to do crazy things. This is why, you know, our PTM and our child safety rules. Yeah. It's because of my generation and probably the generation before me.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the persons told me when I was a counselor, you guys can't do the things we used to do. We used to have BB gun fights. They would have BB guns and they would shoot at each other.
Illegal now, right?
And one guy got hit in the eye, like at each other. And one guy got hit in the eye and it popped his eye and he showed me, he's like, it's all jacked up. And so my generation heard from the older guys, like, this is what we used to do. Well, when I was a counselor, we used to take all the mattresses out of the cabins and we used to put them all in the middle of between the cabins and we would play WWE or wrestling and we'd like body slam campers and it was full on.
That's
like
fun.
It was fun. It was not safe, but it was fun.
Yeah.
And then at night, night watch used to be a thing where all the counselors, as soon as your kids were asleep, you can come out of your cabin. Mm-hmm. And one person sat in the middle of all the cabins and we would go into town to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
We would leave camp.
I think Audrey was telling me about this.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's not the case anymore.
No, I wanted to do with my camp is what I used to do at camp, and it's sock wrestling. I was telling you about it, right?
Okay.
And they put your longest pair of socks on and you just have to put a mattress down or something WWE.
Oh, that's right. Sock wrestling.
And you've just got to get the other person's both pairs of their socks off.
That's fun.
It was, yeah. And I'm just like, and I'm trying to like line it up with PTM, see if it will work.
Yeah, like, I don't think it will. No, because I mean, you one wrong grab.
It's
a lot of fun. Camp is fun. And I'll tell you, in 20 years, should you be talking to someone who came to Camp America and worked at a Salvation Army camp, you'll say, wow, we used to just... We used to do this or that, and they'll say, we don't do that. We just...
I know. It's going to... I can't imagine what
it's... We live in a bubble.
Yeah. It's going to be mad in 20 years.
Isn't that crazy?
It's scary to think about.
But kids still come out. They still have fun.
Yeah.
They still learn about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's...
It's being away from home.
It is.
That's the fun part.
It is. And camp is a special place for kids. Mm-hmm. So, Lonnie, I am out of time.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for being a part of our staff for the last 2 years. I want to thank you for...
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming back and being a part of our staff. Thanks for pouring into these kids who don't always have someone to love them.
Right.
It means a lot. And I tell everyone this at the end of the podcast, but I say, look, we don't hire people just to do a job. Mm-hmm. We hire them to join us in ministry and to love kids. So I appreciate it. And I appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Yeah, cool.
Sharing your story. Yeah. We will we will release this at some point, and other people will surely be excited to hear your story. So awesome. Thank you so much.
It was fun.